If you would you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 25 to 32. Beginning in verse 25, it says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you, along with malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." This morning, we're continuing our series called Overflow. And we began this just a few weeks ago. If you're just catching up with us, the idea of overflow is that out of your heart, the overflow of your heart is what you're going to say and do. And sometimes those things are to hide what we're truly feeling in our heart. Our behavior doesn't totally match up. And the idea is to get the two to become one. That our heart and our lips would not only line up, but what we're saying and what's coming from our heart is good. So there's four emotions we've been talking about. Guilt was last week. This week we're going to talk about anger. Next week we'll hear about greed and then jealousy. And these four emotions are things that battle in our hearts. It's not something we see. It's just something we know is there. And we try to do our best to defend that. So we're working on that this week. Now this scripture I just read obviously deals with anger. Last week we talked about guilt. Guilt says, I owe you something. We feel guilty because we've hurt someone or done something to someone to hurt them. Therefore, we feel guilty. Anger, on the other hand, says, you owe me. Anger says, you've hurt me, you've done something to me, and you owe me. Anger is a human emotion that we feel at one time or another, and the feeling is not problematic. It's how we express anger that becomes a problem in our lives. Learning how to communicate effectively when you feel angry will be the key to happy relationships. That's what we're working on today. Now, just a few months ago, we were driving to Kansas City. We were just leaving the house. We all got in the car, and we just got a few blocks from the house, and Courtney realized she had forgotten something. To be honest with you, I don't even remember what it was. But she asked me to turn around and go back and get it. Well, in my mind, it wasn't important enough to have to turn around. It was something we probably wouldn't use anyway. She just wanted to have it just in case. So we're having this discussion in the car. Do I really need to turn around? And so finally, she convinced me that I needed to turn around. So at that point, I'm angry. Let's just be honest. I was angry. But how was I going to express that anger? Well, I didn't want to yell at the kids. I didn't want to yell at Courtney. So in that moment, I expressed my anger by driving fast. I slowed down as fast as I could. In the middle of the road, I whipped around and I jetted back to the house as if we were going to lose 5 minutes for having to turn around. Like I said, we were blocks from our house. It wasn't going to kill us to turn around. But I'm driving fast because I'm angry. So out of that, about a week later, we're in a different vehicle. We're in the Tahoe at this point, and we're driving down the road. And all I did, I wasn't even driving that fast, but I swerved to miss something. And Tessa said, "Dad, are you angry?" And I said, "No, why do you ask?" She said, "Well, when you're angry, you drive fast." You see, I was being identified by how I expressed my anger. That happens with all of us. Maybe for you it's not driving fast. Maybe for you it's raising your voice. Maybe for you there could be abuse involved. Maybe it's not on someone. You punch the wall or you punch the door. How many have had to make a repair once or twice because of anger? You know what I'm talking about. So here's the problem in dealing with anger. Many times we believe the lie that anger is just, it's just who we are. Just don't make me angry and then I won't be angry. It's just part of me. This anger is who I am. Once again, we don't want to be identified by anger. And that is a lie we tend to believe. Another lie that angry people tend to believe is that anger is the result of our circumstances. Anger is not a circumstantial issue. It's a heart issue. It's coming from your heart. Do you realize anger can actually cause health problems? Muscle tension, grinding teeth, headaches, migraines. It can raise your blood pressure, cause chest pain, trigger a heart attack or a stroke, lead to anxiety, insomnia, nightmares, and depression. All of this can be coming from anger. Once again, it's not a circumstantial issue. And how can I prove that? Well, here's a simple example. If you take two people, two totally different people, and put them in the same situation, they will respond totally different based on their hearts. Someone could run in. Have you seen the commercial? There's actually a commercial where someone's car is being, I think it's an insurance commercial, but their car is being totaled in front of them. They see it. And one guy is like, no! And then the next guy's just like, oh. You know? It's all based on their heart. So how we respond to anger is where we find the problem. Now we're talking about Ephesians today. We read this scripture. And to explain to you that this is not a circumstantial issue, I want to show you the life of the author of the scripture we just read. Paul. If anybody had the right to be angry, it was Paul. He went through some pretty horrible times. So the circumstances could have taken him to a huge amount of anger. But I want you to understand, even after all he went through, he wrote the words that we just read. So let's look at the life of Paul just for a moment. First of all, Ephesians is one of the prison epistles. There's four of them. Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. All of which were written while he was in prison. Why? Because he was sharing the gospel. So let's look at Paul's life. The Holy Spirit told Paul to take a ship for a missions trip. That vessel ended up sinking and Paul had to swim for his life. He then set out for his next appointment on foot, where he was robbed along the way. Finally, he reached his destination. Instead of people receiving what he had to say, they mocked him, beat him, and cast him into prison. God delivered him from that cell, and he was released. So he started out for his next assignment. There, the Holy Spirit told him this, "Get ready, Paul, because you're going back to jail, and you're going to be stoned. I know you've been through a lot, but there are more afflictions ahead. Rejoice, Paul, for you have been counted worthy to suffer for the sake of Christ." Can you imagine? Well, thanks a lot, God. But he continued on to his next place. Sure enough, he was stoned and left for dead. Yet God brought him back. I probably would have said, "Just take me now, God, I'm done." But he brought him back, so he set out for his next trip, to which he went to one of the churches that he had raised up. And when he got there, Alexander the coppersmith had taken over this church and was the leader. And he said, "Paul, you're no longer needed here anymore." He turned the people against him. So Paul finally went on to his next assignment when the Holy Spirit told him, "That's not all. There are more afflictions ahead." So now Paul is under house arrest, chained to a Roman soldier, when he wrote the words of the scripture we just read. If anybody had a right to be angry, I think Paul had a right to be angry. Yet he wrote this, Ephesians 4:26, "Be angry, but do not sin." Be angry. Well, that part we can do, right? I can even be good at that. No problem. But when it comes to the sin part, when we allow our anger to take us to a place where we're actually hurting other people, people who didn't even hurt us to begin with, yet we're taking it out on them, that's when it becomes a problem. These six words, "be angry, but do not sin," tell us anger is not a sin. It's an emotion that we all have, that we all feel. But it's when we take it to the next step. It's not a very long step from anger to spite and cruelty and revenge and bitterness and hatred. I find it interesting that just three verses later, it says this. It says, don't use foul or abusive language. How many of you know when you're angry, you just want to throw out something back? You know, you just got to say something. Sometimes, once again, to the detriment of someone else. Unfortunately, if I can talk to the spouses in this room right now, when you're angry at your spouse, it's when you're most vulnerable to say the wrong thing. You can say things that you can never take back. All because you're angry. And later, when you sit down and you're calm, and you look back, you go, why would I say such a thing? I like what the message says for Ephesians 4:29. It actually says, say only what helps. Each word a gift. Now that's hard to do in our anger, isn't it? To say only what helps. So here's my fear in dealing with this emotion, is that many of us get in our minds that to be a godly person, to deal with these emotions, we have to be some kind of emotional robot. That we just have to, I can't be mad. I can't be guilty. I can't do anything. I just have to just walk through life as this emotional robot, not feeling anything. But how many of you know the God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it created us? He also created our minds. He created us with emotion to understand anger is one of those emotions. Anger is something we are going to feel. That's why Paul said, be angry, but do not sin. So we pray things like, God, help me not to feel angry. Help me not to feel discouraged. Because we don't want to feel that way. It's more learning how to deal with those feelings. It's how to channel those feelings in the right direction. In those situations when you're angry, when you're not liking how things are turning out, the best thing you can do is say, what can I learn from this situation? How can I teach others? Imagine what you can teach your children in how you respond to a negative situation. The second part of verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Another translation says, on your anger. Are you telling me I can't go to bed mad? Is that really what that means? How many of you know that's almost impossible? It's good advice. It is. If you can get beyond something, you need to. But if something happens in this world and it makes us angry, are we really going to be able to call the president and say, I really don't like this. I can't go to bed until you know that. Obviously, there's things that happen and we can't help them, but we do get angry about it, and that's okay. But all he's saying when he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger, he's encouraging us to take care of these things as soon as possible. And if anything, don't take your anger from one relationship to the next, or from one season of life to the next. That's the encouragement. That's really what he's trying to say. Some of us carry anger from our childhood into our adult life. And once again, our children begin to reap the effects of that. Or we get angry at work and we bring that home from one relationship to the next, to someone who doesn't deserve the anger that we give them. Verse 27, nor give place to the devil. Once again, another translation says, nor give the devil a foothold. When you hold on to that anger, when you're just clinging to it and saying, I can't let go of this, I've got to be angry for a while, you're giving the devil a foothold to use you in negative ways. Hear me, if you don't hear anything else, it will affect all the relationships in your life. You must understand that. We talked about it earlier. We get in our minds this mentality of you owe me. Even if it's just God we're mad at. Because our circumstances in life haven't always just turned out just like we thought. And we see other people and think, man, they've got it all together. That's not fair. So we turn out mad at God. We're giving the devil a foothold to affect our lives. Here's the tricky part about anger. You may have a real legitimate reason for being angry. You may have every right to be angry. But if you allow that to control you, you're affecting those around you. You have the problem. And the question I would ask is, does that anger truly control your life? Are you clinging to it? Does it become a safety net? That you're just like, I feel better when I'm angry. I express myself better when I'm angry. It's not in a good way, but I at least know what to do with it. I funnel that out in negative ways. You know, if you were to go to the doctor and the doctor said, you have a disease, is your response going to be, whose fault is it? Is it my mom's fault that I have this disease? Is it my wife's cooking? What is it? Why am I sick? What's the disease coming from? No. The first question you're going to ask is, what can we do about it? What's the answer? What's the medicine that can cure this disease? Now, when it comes to the disease of anger, what if the cure can happen by you just changing your decisions? What if the cure is by you changing your heart? Not allowing the anger to affect you. We learned last week that the cure for guilt was confession. First, we need to confess to God, and then we need to confess to others if we've hurt someone, or at least find someone you can confess to that can hold you accountable. Today, I want to give you the antidote to anger, the medicine that we need to get rid of anger. It's in the scripture we just read. Look again at Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Forgive one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So how do we go beyond feeling angry? How do we get beyond that thought of someone owes me something? We have to forgive. We have to let it go. Look at your neighbor and say, learn to forgive. I know what you're thinking. Many of you are like, here's the catch. It's back on me again. I have to learn to forgive. Already I feel guilty for being angry. Now I feel guilty because I've got to forgive. If you will learn to forgive, all of that goes away. And the only response I can ask, even though you have that legitimate reason for being angry, even though someone truly did hurt you, the question I would ask is, how long? How long? How long is long enough? How long are you going to make them wait? Or how are you going to say, it's until they say that they're sorry and ask for my forgiveness, that's when I'll let it go. What you don't realize is they're controlling your life as long as you're waiting. And they may not even know they hurt you, so you may be waiting a long time for them to come back. Or are you waiting until they've earned the right to receive forgiveness? And my question to you on that one is, what if Jesus had waited? What if Jesus had said, I'm not going to die on that cross until they ask for it, until they earn the right to be forgiven? No. It says in Romans 5:8, for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait until we deserved it. And when we understand that kind of forgiveness, when you begin to forgive those who have hurt you, and it's not easy. I'm the one up here talking. I make it sound so easy. It's hard. But you will be the one who is set free in that moment. Let me give you a quote from Lewis Smedes. He says, to forgive is to set the prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner is you. To forgive is to set the prisoner free. Church, some of us need to set the prisoner free this morning. We need to let go of the anger and bitterness and resentment we've been holding onto for a long time. I think we're all waiting. We just wait until we think that person deserves it. But let's just be real. Could they even pay you back anyway? 90% of the time, whatever you've been hurt by, they could never repay. How could a father repay a child if he walked away when they were young? How would you ever? Now, that father can begin a relationship now, and that all may begin by you forgiving. And you can fix a relationship that hasn't been there for a long time. You may say, well, Chad, what's this look like? How does this forgiveness thing work? It's just the decision to cancel the debt. You have to make that decision. It does not come easy, and you need God's help. And did I say you'll just forget it the moment you forgive? No. Once again, we're not emotional robots. We can't just delete it from our mind and it's gone. You're going to see that person again, and all of that anger, all that resentment is going to come back again. But you're choosing to forgive. And when you see them, you choose not to get angry. And you choose to let it go. To the point where before long, you choose to forget. How many of you have heard of the American Red Cross? I think we all know what the American Red Cross is, right? That was founded by a woman named Clara Barton in the 1800s. There's a true story about her having a conversation with one of her friends. And they were discussing a time when Clara had been wronged. And this friend was talking to her saying, I can't believe you just let that go. She was almost upset for her, saying, you really should be more angry about that. To which Clara responded like this, I distinctly remember forgetting that. It was a choice. She chose to let it go. She chose to not hold on to that bitterness and anger. If I can encourage you with anything today, if someone has hurt you in the past, if you're living a life of anger, if you're mad at God, you need to choose to let it go. And you need to forgive and try to begin the process of forgetting. Because here's what's happening. As long as you're holding on to that, you're telling God, I love that anger more than I love you. And you're telling your children, you're telling your parents, you're telling your wife, your husband, whoever lives with you, you're telling them, I like the anger more than I like you. As long as you hold on to that. I'm going to give you four quick things to help us with dealing with anger and unforgiveness. And then we're going to worship in just a moment. Four things. If you want to write these down, you can. The first thing is to identify who you're angry with or what you're angry about. You've got to find out what the source is. Something in your heart that happened to you at some point in your life. It could have been a week ago. It could have been 10 years ago. Something in your heart is causing you to feel angry. You have to find what the source is. Identify. Do not identify who you've been taking it out on. You can find people you've been angry at, but they may not even be the reason that you were initially angry. So you got to find the source. Secondly, determine what they owe you. Figure out what it's going to take for you to feel okay. Was it a job, a relationship, a childhood? Whatever it is, determine what they owe you. Now comes the hard part. Number three, you've got to cancel that debt. In your mind, you have to tell yourself, they owe me this, but I'm going to let it go. It's out, it's done, it's over. When I see them, I will believe there's nothing there. Because I've canceled the debt, which brings us to number four. Choose to forget. It may not happen right away. For some of us, it might take a week. For some of us, it might take 2 years. But you have to choose to forget. If you can walk these four things through your own mind, through your heart, you're going to find that anger being released. The anger that you've been holding on to for too long. Now, this is one of those things between you and God. Last week when we talked about guilt, we talked about confession. And we can confess to God and we can confess to others. With anger and beginning to forgive someone, this is between you and God. You don't go to that person and say, I forgive you. Because they're going, huh? For what? This is between you and God. But you know what? As you see that person, as you choose to forgive them and forget about what they did, before long, they see the difference in you. They know they're forgiven based on how you treat them, how you talk to them, how you act around them. All of that happens by forgiving. And let's be reminded, we don't treat others the way other people have treated us. We treat others the way God has treated us. That's why Paul wrote that in the scripture, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Church, that's what we're here for. We're not just rolling through this series so we can give you a pep talk. This is because these are issues in our heart that we have to deal with. And if we don't, it's going to continue on and on and on. So will you bow your heads in this place? I will never get sick of asking this question. If you're here today and you say, Chad, before I even think of forgiving others, I just need to ask Jesus in my own life, in my own heart, and ask Him to forgive me. And if that's you in this place, you want to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ today, or maybe rededicate your life to God. Maybe you've done it once before, but you've been away from God for a long time. And if that's you, I just ask that you raise your hand because I want to say a prayer for you. Anyone in this room today? Next, if you're in this room and you say, Chad, it's kind of like you were talking to me today. I've dealt with anger. I've taken it out on other people, and I want to be done with that. I need God to restore my heart, to restore my life, and help me with anger. I want to commit to dealing with the anger, to finding out what someone did to me, the cause of that anger, deciding what they owe me, and then canceling the debt, and choosing to forget. I want to take that on today. And if that's you, I just want to pray for you. Just raise your hand right now. Put your hands down. Anyone else? Here's the thing about this. When you choose from this moment to let that unforgiveness go, to try to release the anger in your heart, you're going to take that moment that happened to you when you were hurt, and it will come from a hating moment to a holy moment. From this point on, when you see them, you will not think the negative of what they did to you. You will think the positive, the holy moment that you had in this place right now when God restored your life. He restored your heart and He made you new again. And you can have a positive moment from this moment forward. That's the God we serve. So Lord, thank You for what You promised us in Your Word. Thank You that You encourage us in what to do. God, You led by example, by sending Your Son to forgive us by dying on a cross. We can receive forgiveness today. Lord, may we do that for others now. May we not wait for the I'm sorry. May we not wait till they've earned the right to be forgiven. May we forgive today. And God, help us with anger. God, we're going to feel angry sometimes. We're going to have that emotion. But may we be able to funnel that in the correct ways. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? As you know, the last 2 weeks we've ended the service with this. I want to say this together, and then we're going to sing a song and leave out of here worshiping God. But I want you to repeat after me today. I will not give in, give up, or give out. I will confess God's promises. I will have faith in God. I will move mountains because my heart is good My faith is strong. My enemy is a liar. And I don't believe his lies anymore. Because I am a child of the living God. I'm receiving my inheritance right now. Every word, every promise that God has given, I receive. I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind to be conformed to who God says I am. I'm advancing the kingdom in my life. I will not grow weary in the fight. For he who has begun a good work in me, come on, for he who has begun a good work in me will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Come on, give him praise. Amen.